Hello and welcome to the Who's He podcast with me, Phil.
And me, Scott.
And on this episode, we're going to be revisiting the Peter Capaldi era with Flatline, which we'll come on to a bit later. But first, a little bit of news. So as we now know, that Doctor Who will be back on our screens with a double episode on Saturday the 11th of May. Excited, Scott?
Ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Now, obviously that isn't the only news associated to this, is because it's actually going to be available on the iPlayer and on Disney Plus first. So both episodes will drop on the iPlayer and on Disney Plus at midnight, I think UK time. I know, I don't know if that's the same for Disney Plus as well, but I know for the iPlayer, it's UK UK time, midnight. So
are they not being aired on TV?
Well, it'll be on TV later on that evening. So
in the middle of the night?
Yeah. So now a lot of people have got a bit uppity about this. What do you think, Scott? What do you think to this?
It's a bit weird, but, you know.
I think that's the way things...
You're gonna deal with it.
exactly, mate. Deal with it. Deal with it. And I think it's going to... Obviously, people do get very... how can I put it? Not upset, but quite uptight about overnight viewing figures, which aren't going to matter at all now, the way this is done. I think it's just the way telly is now, unfortunately. It streams first, and then terrestrial TV seems to be a bit of an afterthought, particularly something like this, because it's a big global brand now, Doctor, and they're trying to get it out to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Does make you wonder, though, if that's a stipulation from Disney Plus, saying that it's got to stream there first before it airs on terrestrial television. I don't know if that's a thing. I'm reading between the lines here. I'm not entirely certain.
A lot of Disney Plus shows will actually air on TV just on the Disney Plus app itself.
Well, yeah, that's their channel, isn't it?
Like, yeah. I don't know, Mandalorian.
Some of the Marvel TV stuff.
Aired on Disney and wasn't aired on actual TV.
Yeah.
At like a certain time, like 7 o'clock.
Well, I'm in two minds about it, actually. I think we just got to accept it. That's how things are going to be now. But I like the fact you have to wait to watch Doctor Who. I'm not going to go down the whole thing, oh, we're British, therefore we should see it first. I don't think that kind of thing is going to work. And if they want Doctor Who to sell across the world, because I don't think Doctor Who would really still exist if it weren't for the fact that you got Sony and Bad Wolf and Disney sort of invested in them and producing the show now, so I don't think the BBC on its own could actually do it. So you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
It's kind of crazy how the BBC is not actually the biggest part involved with it now. It's more of a...
It's a global thing, is it? It's a multi partnership now to bring Doctor Who to the screens, because the BBC can't afford to do it on its own. It hasn't done for a long time, actually. So, but yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed, but I say I think we just got to... You could look at it one way, just saying, well, I'd rather have Doctor Who on the screens than no Doctor Who.
But if they completely did that for the whole series, I think my opinion's on...
This is it. It will be for the whole series. That's how it's going to be now, I think. Yeah, all the episodes will drop on iPlayer and on Disney Plus first before it will be shown on terrestrial television.
But will it actually be... Or will they all air at midnight at like 1 a.m. in the morning?
Well, it's certainly... UK time, but I don't know what time that'll be Disney Plus wise. I've got no idea.
It only says episode 1 and 2.
Yeah, so we've got double episode drop. Yeah. And then after that, it'll just be back to one episode, I think. But unless that's a stipulation from Disney, because Disney Plus does that a lot with their series. They air two episodes. Like, there's been a new series of The Bad Batch has started, the Clone Wars Bad Batch cartoon series. The first two episodes dropped at once. And then this week they had two episodes drop at once as well, so that they tend to do that quite a bit. So it doesn't surprise me with Disney, if I'm honest. But But I like the anticipation. I like the fact that, you know, Saturday nights, because it was going to be back on Saturday night, Doctor Who, you know, and I was looking forward to it. Now it's just, well, you can sit whenever you like. It sort of takes some of the, for me, it takes some of the fun out of it. But I'm an old school viewer. It's not how I watch television. To be honest, even though it's on iPlayer, I will probably wait until Saturday night to watch it.
Yeah.
Because that, for me, that's what the fun is. It's waiting, not you know, not watch it any time I like. Yeah, I like to watch it on terrestrial television. That's just my viewing habits.
Maybe that'll go back to normal for season. Yeah. Is it because you have Eurovision?
You actually, that is the same day as Eurovision, May the 11th. Yeah.
Is that why?
No, I don't think so. Just the way it's out. Maybe that's the deal that's been struck with Disney or Sony or Bad Wolf or whatever. I really don't know. Probably
it's,
Disney.
It's slightly random, but
here's a little bit. It's a shame. Yeah. But you know, that's what I'm not going to say. You know, change, all change is good. Not all change is good. I'm afraid it really isn't. Some things, it's just change for change's sake. Maybe this is change for change's sake. I don't know. But that's my personal opinion on it. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong on it, to be honest. It's just I like waiting till it's on the television. That's how I like to watch it, and I shall continue to watch it that way as well.
Okay.
So, there you are. So yeah, cool. So so that's it for the news really. But before we sort of get into our review of Flatline, you want to say a thank you, don't you?
Yes, I want to say thank you to Ian for all of the books he.
Yes, Ian Key. Ian Key, our listener, one of our listeners, Ian. Yes, he very after our last podcast, which was Scott talk about his little collection of Target books that he's
increasing.
Ian very kindly sent Scott some books. So yeah, so massive thank you. You're over the moon with them, aren't you?
Oh, they look really good as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pristine.
Excellent stuff. So yeah, thanks so much, Ian. That's really appreciated, mate. Thank you so much. Yeah, so that's it then. So coming up next we'll be talking about Flatline. So for this episode, that was the news and thank yous. Okay, everybody, so now we're going to talk about Flatline, which you chose to speak about, Scott, didn't you? You wanted to do a Peter Capaldi episode, and which I was very much up for because Capaldi's one of my favourite doctors, and well, it's not something I revisit very often, weirdly enough, so even though he's one of my favourite doctors, I very rarely watch any of his episodes. Mm-hmm. So you picked Flatline, which was a good one. So what do you think of it, Scott?
I don't really know what to say.
you picked it. You don't know what to say about it.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
That's basically, it's a really just a good story.
Okay. What would you like about it then?
It was at the end. It was interesting because you got to see Missy, and as you know, you find out later that she was the one that paired the 11th Doctor and Clara up in the first place in a shop. So,
yeah, in a phone shop. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting that you actually get to see. The first time you ever actually see Missy on screen?
No, she did appear in the first episode, a couple of episodes, I think. Where
she did.
Yeah, she after Deep Breath, she was in that, wasn't she?
Although, no
when,
one...
When the clockwork man went to her version of heaven or hell, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, she had an obsession with heaven in the first series.
Yeah, exactly.
Death in heaven,
sent, all that, yeah. No, I really liked this one when it came out. I think it's a really sort of quite a different kind of story. Creepy in places.
Yeah, I like
very
the
creepy.
Flat line.
Surreal
I like
as well.
The boneless.
Yeah, it's very surreal.
Wish they could come back.
They might do. You never know. It'll be a good villain to bring back, actually. I like the fact that they sort of start off as sort of 2D, and because they're on a completely different plane, which I think is something Doctor's never done before.
And they start to understand humans have to live in a 3D dimension.
So
and
they start dissecting people
and they turn to 3D monsters instead.
Yeah, but also sort of taking the dimensions from the TARDIS as well, leeching off the energy.
Yeah,
that's an interesting idea, and shrinking the TARDIS from the outside, but the inside still the same. I thought was interesting as well. But I think it's a good fun episode. Actually,
it's a very Clara themed story.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
What would you say about that?
Well, I feel like it's almost like a Dr. Light episode, this one, in a to a certain degree, even though Capaldi's in it quite a bit.
50% Dr. Light.
Yeah, he's not really sort of involved in the action too much. And you can tell, actually, because his hair length changes.
Yes, in one of the scenes, his hair sort of...
Yeah, at the end, his hair's shorter again. So, but the rest of the episode, it's a bit longer. So that was the ever-changing Capaldi hair.
There, he had a haircut when he was waiting on the TARDIS.
Must have done.
He lost hair when panicking.
Yeah, must have. So obviously they must have filmed that bit first, and then the rest of it was filmed a bit later for some reason. I don't know why, just the way production blocks go, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. But there's another reason I really like this episode, because this, you might not remember this, this is the first episode of Doctor Who you watched with me. You won't remember.
No.
You were about 1 year old and you were sitting on my lap on the sofa. And you know the opening scene with the guys on the phone saying, oh, they're
everywhere. I like that
yeah,
bit.
And he gets pulled down, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that bit, you jumped out of your skin when you were sitting like, oh, like that. You sort
I turned
jumped.
Into a boneless.
Yeah, you did, yeah. I'll never forget that. You sat there and watched it all the way through, and I think that's... From a very early age, I got you hooked on Doctor Who, didn't I?
I remember reading a Doctor Who magazine in 2015.
Mm, I think I took a photograph of you reading that.
I remember
that.
Now, when I saw the picture, I remember reading that magazine. Yeah. I think it was shortly after that.
Yeah, this was 2014, wasn't it, when Series 8 came out. So you were one.
One year.
You were just barely over 1 year old. You're probably about sort of like 14, 15 months old, I think, when it aired.
I had no option but to become a Doctor Who fan.
You had none at all. No, I don't know where your mum and your sister were, but you and I, we were sitting on the sofa watching Doctor Who, and you jumped out of your skin at the opening scene. So
I also wanted to mention is I love Peter Capaldi's theme music in this episode.
Well, exactly. If you can remember it, then you always remember your first Doctor, don't you? Your first thing. But
I
still really like it. But people are saying this is where the whole thing with Clara
sort of starts.
Wanting to be the Doctor.
Starts,
yeah.
Which is kind of true, really.
Yeah.
Briggsy, how well do you know this area? Do you know where that door leads?
It's the old Brunswick Lane, but it's not safe.
Yeah, but it's safe and it's safe.
Yeah, I know it. I used to go down there all the time.
Yeah, I bet you did. Peyton, your filth.
Yeah, well, you might be glad he did. Those things come in here, that is our only way out. I just hope I can keep them all alive.
Welcome to my world. So what's next, Dr. Clara?
Lie to them.
What?
Lie to them. Give them hope. Tell them they're all going to be fine. Isn't that what you would do?
In our manner of speaking, it's true that people with hope tend to run faster, whereas people who think they're doomed...
Dawdle. End up dead.
So that's what I sound like.
Who's she talking to?
He says it's MI5.
People. So some people got a bit... Not angry, but sort of got a bit, because... Clara being the Doctor, she got in over her head and ended up with her dying, didn't it, Face the Raven. So, and I think what people were saying was, oh, that means that nobody can be the Doctor. Well, I think that's the point to it, really. He's got the wherewithal about, I think Clara just got too big for her boots and she paid the ultimate price, really, didn't she, in the end? But this is the start of it. And I think even the Doctor was a little bit, because what was it he said to her at the end? He said something weird to her, didn't he? It was sort of like, well, maybe you shouldn't be.
The way he said, well done, Clara, you make an excellent doctor, but he said it in like a bit of a strange way, like he didn't actually mean it.
Yeah, there was. I can't remember these exact words now, just before they go back into the TARDIS again. But yeah, that was a bit, sort of a bit of a foreshadowing there, I think, actually, because even Clara looked at him a bit, What's he on about there?
He knew before she even died that she was going to die.
Yeah,
of that.
exactly. Now, I quite like Jenna Coleman in this one, actually. I liked her with Matt Smith. I think she got... They made the character... I don't know. There was a conscious decision because she didn't get on with the 12th Doctor, did she? And then she was lying to Danny Pink about still travelling with him. As well, which appeared in this story.
Yeah.
He didn't know, which I thought
and
was...
And didn't find out to the last episode of the season, which was...
Yeah, I know, that's a bit... maybe we'll cover that one day. I don't think I've watched Flatline since transmitted on television in 2014. I think we reviewed it. Obviously, Paul and I reviewed this one previously. Is this a little bit of a revisit? But yeah, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I love the really surreal bits, like the Doctor is still big inside the tiny TARDIS, his face looking out, imagine, the hands come out the handbag. And
imagine if this was a Matt Smith story and it was set in Series 7. It would be quite a change if the, like, being the Doctor arc started then. Because it would have been better if it started in Series 7 and went all the way to the end of Series 9, because the Impossible Girl thing sort of just got forgotten about by the end of Series 8. And they could have really kept Amy and Rory. They could have really kept Amy and Rory to the end of the series, then introduced Clara at the beginning of
The Impossible Girl thing sort of ran its course at the end of that series, didn't it? And the specials and everything before Capaldi came on.
It really got forgotten in Day of the Doctor.
That plot point was done, really, wasn't it?
It was never mentioned again that she didn't, and she all of a sudden just became a teacher. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I know. It was. I think you're meant to expect there's a lot of time has passed in between. I think, actually, but no, I like this before. I think they sort of kind of. I'm not going to say ruin the character, because it obviously gave the character a bit of growth, didn't it? So she sort of like started thinking, after this, well, I can be the Doctor.
She probably couldn't after what happened.
Yeah, exactly. She couldn't.
She was good at it. But
tried as she might, yeah. But you say that, though. I know it doesn't happen this episode, but like Face the Raven, isn't that something the Doctor would do? He would sacrifice himself for someone else? Because that's what she does, doesn't she? She sacrifices herself for, was it Rigsy?
Yeah.
Because obviously Rigsy appears in this story, and that's the next time you see him.
I mean, sort of. Some incarnations do that, but some of them can be a bit more stubborn when it comes to making sure people stay alive.
Yeah.
They sort of just let them die instead, and they just get forgotten about that character.
Yeah.
They have no plot point to the rest of the story.
They're not going to do that with Clara, are they? They're going to make it a plot point.
That would mainly more happen in classic Doctor Who, I think.
Yeah.
The companion, if they die, sort of just gets forgotten about. Like, when Adric died, it was in Time Flight, but it was never mentioned again. I don't think it was.
Well, no, really it gets mentioned more now, actually, than it
was then.
Yeah, it does also get sort of briefly mentioned the case of Androzani, which is going to be our next podcast, actually.
And the Toast of the TARDIS Earthshock.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I think that, you know, he does get mentioned, but it's just a shame that Clara doesn't get. I know, sort of like the Clara sort of like gets forgotten about by the Doctor, because she wipes his memory, doesn't she? At the end of Hellbent, is it, or Heaven Sent, one of the circle, which way around
is that
it,
why is he it? Never really remembers Clara in Series 10?
Yeah.
But it does come back.
But he remembers her in his final episode, Twice Upon a Time. She appears, doesn't she, as a like a ghost thing, doesn't she?
I wonder who the Doctor thought he was travelling with between series the end.
No one. He didn't remember. Remember who he was, really, did he? To be honest, the Doctor. He didn't remember, because he lost the TARDIS. He sort of lost everything.
I mean, the 12th Doctor forgot. I mean,
anyway, we're going way off topic here, aren't we? Yeah, Flatline. Back to Flatline. I liked it. I think the, was it George, Christopher Fairbanks' character? I think you're waiting for him to get killed off.
Just die already.
Yeah, all the people who didn't deserve to get killed did, and turned into...
It sort of proves a lot about the Doctor's life, that the people that don't deserve to die, die, and that the people that do deserve to die, don't die.
Well, yeah, he doesn't outright say that, does he? But it just sort of makes he says that sometimes the wrong people get saved.
Yeah,
because that George was very
nasty.
Nasty, bitter man, wasn't he?
Old man.
But unfortunately, you get people like that in real life. I'm afraid, mate. So,
I know this was sort of part of the thing, but what was Rigsy actually doing? What for community? Why did he have to do community service?
He was a graffiti artist. So remember the opening scene where he makes George makes Rigsy whitewash over his own graffiti.
That's why he was graffitiing around the place.
Yeah. So because as far as George was concerned, people like Rigsy were scum.
Scum. Yeah.
Really. I don't know what the other guys had done, but you see, he really had it in for Rigsy for some reason. I don't know if it was to do with the. I don't know if it's hinted at it was to do with the colour of his skin, or he just didn't like people making defacing stuff. I think it's an amalgamation of stuff, really.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he was quite nasty because he literally basically called the TARDIS to drop down that thing, and like the Doctor has to do emergency life support, and he could have died in the TARDIS because of him.
Yeah, because of him, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what he was. He was trying to get hold of the 2D thing. He wasn't trying to get hold of the TARDIS. He was trying to get hold of that device the Doctor made to turn the 2D door handle back into 3D and vice versa. The 2DIS, as he called it.
2DIS.
The 2DIS, yeah.
Quite like that.
Yeah.
Never came back. Clara just sort of hogged it. She put it in her TARDIS.
That's the thing. Lots of gadgets get lost over time, mate. They never see again, especially the one that used in, was it the Time Monster that you made out of wine bottles, corks and wire coat hangers?
And Attack of the Cybermen, the funny Sonic.
Sonic Lance, wasn't it? You never see that again, yeah.
No, it was good.
They just appear they get used for a story and then they just disappear
never
again.
Never come back.
But.
Shame, really. Good gadget.
But no, I'm glad you picked this story, Scott, because I really enjoyed listening to this one. I thought It was good to it was good to revisit Peter Capaldi and also to Jamie Matheson as well, who wrote this one. He hasn't written for Doctor Who for years now. I think his last one might have been Oxygen.
Isn't it when the Doctor goes blind?
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
And then he gets fixed, and was it Pyramid at the End of the World?
Yeah.
I don't know how. How did he get... never mind.
Stuff. Exactly, yeah.
It goes on through... Because it follows from Extremis after that, and then it's... And then isn't it Extremis after that? What's it called?
Really can't remember.
Extremis. And then it's... Yeah. And then it's Pyramid at the End of the World, so it's in that two-parter, that sort of...
Yeah.
He kind of gets fixed. He didn't survive blind that long, though.
No, well, they couldn't keep going for too much longer, could they? But
it kind of would have made a joke, because it kind of would have been silly if the Doctor's like this alien lifesaver, and all of a sudden he just sort of...
Yeah, I don't know what it was about that last series. Sorry, listeners, we're going way off topic again, but I think they, for some reason, they Stephen Moffat saw fit to really put that Doctor through...
A lot,
yeah. Not quite sure why, actually. Yeah,
that was what I was trying to say, but I couldn't find words for it.
Yeah, why? Sort of like blind, then he was sort of, he lost build as a Cyberman, then he was the Missian master to deal with. He regenerated and didn't want, he was going to regenerate and didn't want to, and it was all, yeah, it was
like
all...
the first Doctor, in fact, like...
It was that particular series...
It was a good series, though, but I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
And he lost the TARDIS and...
Yeah, exactly. Got
stuck on Mars and Ice Warriors forever.
There's a lot going on for his Doctor, and I'm not quite...
Yes, yeah. A lot.
I know they sort of make things, you know, shake things up and make things different. And I mean, I think Flatline did. It was an unusual story, I felt, actually.
With
some surreal moments in it, like, you know, like the Doctor's hand dragging the TARDIS away from the train tracks. I mean, that
weird.
Was...
Weird, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's surreal, and I'd like that kind of stuff, to be honest. You couldn't have it every week.
No, because that would be a bit...
Because the shot value's gone.
Yeah.
If you do it all the time. But I like that in this instance.
I think that's something that people are always talking about, like the Chibnall era being one of the worst eras. But I think it might be because he didn't have special moments like that.
I don't know. I don't really want to go down to the Chibnall era again. I think enough negative's been said about the Chibnall era to last everybody a lifetime, really.
Yeah. Poor Chibnall.
Yeah, I know. He tried his best. He had his own spin on things. And that's what happens with Doctor Who. Each showrunner comes in and has their own take on stuff, which is fair enough. It's what they're employed to do, isn't it, really?
But okay.
But there's other little bits. I like the Doctor's little dance.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah, after he's dragged himself away from the train tracks.
And then he just walks back down again.
Yeah,
and
he just
like, tips
back again. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like that little dance he does. I like that. Yeah. No one can see you do that, Scott. But Scott is dancing for the purposes of the podcast. Yeah. But I like his performance in this one as well, actually. I think he's quite harsh to begin with in this series, isn't he? He's sort of like things in Into the Dalek when the soldiers get killed and they're sort of walking through that soup made of people. And he said, "This is probably one of your that squad that you were with, and he just doesn't care, really.
God, a soup of dead blood and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, super dead. Yeah, it's so he's quite a harsh character, but I could see what they were doing, because it was, I think what they were trying to do, in my mind anyway, was that, because it was a new regeneration cycle, so it kind, in a funny way, he was kind of like Hartnell's Doctor.
Yeah, you can also sort of
quite very harsh and stern.
You can also see that, like, under the lake, Clara's having to use like cards to make sure he doesn't say something silly again, or
yeah, exactly,
say something like, "Oh, okay, let's go look find ghosts now. Your friend's dead," and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, but they tried to sort of obviously he mellowed as it went on, but I don't think he really started to mellow until after Clara had left. Mm-hmm. I think it's when he's with Bill that his character changed.
Yeah, well, I feel like sometimes he worked better with Bill than Clara.
Yeah, I do as well,
Bill Nardo and the Trap Doctor were good tardis team.
Bill's one of my favourite companions, so from the modern series. So it's I think Clara might have outstayed her welcome, the character, a little bit. She was going to leave, when she was going to leave at, was it last Christmas was going to be the... a final episode, but she decided to stay on for the next series.
Well, I wonder if we could have gotten Bill again. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a shame we only got Bill for
one series.
But Bill
might have only lasted another series, and then Peter Capaldi might have left after series 9.
Yeah.
Which would have been a shame, so that's probably
why
he stayed a bit longer, maybe.
Maybe, but it's a shame that he sort of ruled out coming back.
He's sort of like,
doctor.
You know...
He might mellow. Tom Baker said that, and he's done it now, so who knows.
You know, like, you've had a... like, Colin Baker's Doctor's meant to be a bit irrational, sort of a bit crazy, and a bit... Not like that nice, but it's been done on Big Finish, but I think that's what they were going for with Peter Capaldi's Doctor. Mm-hmm. That sort of style that they wanted for the Sixth Doctor that never happened.
Yeah, maybe.
That
mellowing. Yeah, it never really happened for
Poor Colin Baker.
For Colin Baker, but I think they did manage to do it with
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, but it, for me, it only really happened in Series 10. Is when he really changed and mellowed.
Was it because Bill was there, not Clara?
I think it's Bill Nardole looking after Missy. There was all sorts of things happening there, weren't there?
Or maybe it was because Clara gave him stresses.
Yeah, maybe. She's always sort of slapping him around the face, wasn't she? And things like that. So
yeah,
which I don't know, probably wasn't a good thing to show children.
Yeah.
Really? But oh well, never mind. I'm glad you picked Flatline, because I really did enjoy watching it again. It was a good 45 minutes of television there, I felt.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Indeed. So so that's that. So anything else you want to say before we finish up?
No,
I think it's just another short podcast again this week, just for just to chat through. But one thing we want to say, though, this episode goes out today, which is the 17th of March. But on the 18th of March... this podcast is 13 years old. Yes, we've been going for 13 years.
And we hope to keep going.
Maybe we'll keep going for another 13. Who knows? But we'll keep going for a while yet. But I think we just want to say a big, big thank you to everybody who's listened to us over the last 13 years or watched us on YouTube as well for the last few years as well. I know we sort of... diversified in recent times with like Who's He at the Movies and Who's He TV and things like that.
Split into three
categories. just mixing it up a little bit.
Who's He podcast, Who's He at the Movies, and like
Who's He TV,
and there's a
YouTube channel, which I know it just mirrors what's on Who's He at the Movies and Who's He TV as well.
Who's He at the Movie and Who's He TV are set around other programs. Who's He podcast is really basically
it's just Doctor
Who.
It is all Doctor Who.
I mean, there's sometimes there's a variety, but it's... is basically just Doctor.
Yeah, it'll always be a Doctor Who podcast, but it's just nice now and then just to sort of talk about other things, really.
But if you're interested in other things, go check out the Who's He podcast YouTube channel.
Yes, indeed.
And you'll find all of that on there.
Thank you very much for the plug, Scott. Well done, mate. Well done.
I've been learning.
You'll be learning. Yeah, so thanks ever so much, everybody. Thanks from me. Thanks from Scott. Thanks from Paul. And I dare say our long-lost... member of the podcast, Tony. He hasn't been on here for years now.
10 years?
Not that long. No, it's not that long.
Nine? Eight?
No, it's been 4 or 5 years, I think, possibly a bit longer since he's last been on the podcast. But we keep trying to think of ways to get him back on again.
Get back here, Tony.
Yeah, but he's not really geared up for it. So
we'll lock you up in a cupboard and just take you out whenever we need you.
Yeah,
right. Today we're going to be talking about this, and if you don't talk about this, you'll be back in the cupboard for 2 months.
That's pretty much what we did with him anyway, to be honest. Yes, it was. We used to get him out of the cupboard, put him together.
That's get it. Going.
Get going, that's it.
And so, look him back up again.
Yeah, so thanks ever so much, everybody, for listening. And it really is appreciated. You know, keep listening. Keep sending us reviews on iTunes, whatever the hell it's called these days. Or
Spotify,
whatever it is.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah,
if you'd like to leave us a review, please do. Every little bit helps to get the word out.
Yes, more
really
people.
Does. Yes, more people, more downloads, thank you. So definitely the next podcast, it will be Paul and I. We were talking about The Caves of Androzani, which...
Is it a fan favourite on this podcast?
I don't know, we'll find out. I don't want to give anything away.
I remember you've done it, like...
No, we haven't.
Have you not done it before?
We've never done The Caves of Androzani.
No.
Never done it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I swear you've done it before.
No, we haven't.
Or was that on the YouTube channel?
No, not on the YouTube channel. We've never talked about The Caves of Androzani in this podcast. So Whoa. It's a first. It's a first.
That feels kind of strange.
Yeah.
It's quite one of the most like popular Doctor Who stories of the Fifth Doctor, which is a shame because it's a story he dies in. So
I know, it's usually grim. One of the best stories ever as well. So usually that or Genesis of the Dalek seems to get that.
Yeah.
But anyway, there we go. So that's what's coming up next on the Who's He podcast.
Ooh.
So until next time, folks, it's goodbye from me, Phil.
And goodbye from me, Scott.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. You can download this podcast from iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, and through your podcatcher of choice. If you would care to leave us some feedback on iTunes, that would be very much appreciated. You can also find us on Twitter at @whose_he_podcast, on the Who's He Podcast Facebook group, and through our website, whose-he-podcast.co.uk.